What you say, Hips? This is Bones.
This is Jack Benny. I haven't had a birthday in 30 years. Happy birthday, anyway.
It's a great charge for me to be on this little tribute to you on your 79th birthday.
Hello, Stenos. Why don't you get your nose bobbed?
This is Jane Mansfield, and I'm going to wish you with all my heart the happiest birthday you've ever had.
Oh, Mortimer Snurd, and I want to say... Happy Father's Day.
Frank Sinatra, Jack Benny, Bing Crosby, Jimmy Durante, Jane Mansfield, Edgar Bergen. Just six of the many stars who in this next hour will help us say happy birthday, Bob Hope.
Wins Friction Proofing, makers of products to prevent and correct car troubles from radiator to gas tank, presents the Happy Birthday, Bob Hope Show. And here is your host, Hugh Downs. Thank you and good evening. The man we are saluting on the occasion of his 60th birthday and his 25th year with the National Broadcasting Company has been the recipient of many honors. In this year alone, several gold medals, including one from the National Association of Broadcasters, innumerable testimonial affairs, words of praise from the President of the United States. In other years, other awards, including the highest honor our nation can bestow on a civilian, the Medal of Merit. Tonight, his friends from the world of entertainment are delighted to be able to add their greetings to honor him. And as an extra bonus for us, we'll hear Bob himself as he reminisces about aspects of his career. First, however, word of an event that took place in the same year that Bob Hope was named Humanitarian of the Year for outstanding charitable work. The year was 1961. The 1961 event you're referring to, Hugh, still stands as a world record. In that year, Don Garlett's powerful dragster roared to a quarter-mile world speed record in its class of 198 and two-thirds miles an hour at the Thompson Drag Strip in Ohio. To protect moving parts, Don's car was treated with Winn's Friction Proofing, America's number one automotive product that treats the metal, not the oil. You can protect your car, too, with Winn's full line of products to prevent and correct car troubles from radiator to gas tank. There's Winn's engine tune-up, for example. It's guaranteed to free sticking, clattering hydraulic valve lifters in 10 minutes driving time or your money back. And it contains Friction Proofing, the exclusive combination of metal conditioners that smooths and seals metal parts to hold wear to an absolute minimum. So if your valve lifters are sticking, add Winn's engine tune-up to the crankcase. Remember, it's guaranteed to free them in 10 minutes driving time or your money back. So add a can of Winn's engine tune-up and look for the familiar red, white, and black Winn sign wherever you drive in for service. To get the best out of your car, put the best in.
Carefree driving begins with a can of Winn and a can of Winn today.
Thanks for the memory of sentimental verse. Nothing in my purse. And chuckles when the preacher said, for better or for worse,
how lovely it was.
In the motion picture Big Broadcast of 1938, Bob Hope sang the song that was to become his theme. And in a sense, it becomes our theme, too, for tonight. As Bob and some of his friends and associates look back on the past, the particular past with which we're concerned began on May 29th, 1903, about 10 miles from London's Charing Cross station, in the town of Eltham, when Avis Towns Hope, daughter of a Welsh sea captain, presented to William Henry Hope, stonecutter, a fifth son, Leslie Towns Hope. 5 years later, the Hope family set sail for America, looking for the beginnings of a new life, as work had become scarce in England. Here's how Bob remembers those early years.
Well, actually, it was my idea, because I figured I had very little chance of becoming king, and... We moved to Cleveland, Ohio, and I did a lot of things. I worked at the Chandler Motor Car Company. I sold shoes. I worked for my brother, who was a butcher. And I delivered, and I also worked behind the counter. I weighed my thumb. My thumb weighs about 9,000 pounds. I started boxing. I fought under Rembrandt Hope. I was on the canvas so much. Now, I don't know. My a friend of mine, Packy West, a friend of mine fought under the name of Packy West. So for a gag, I decided to take Packy East. And I got hit pretty hard in my last bout. And I bounced right into dancing school. And I kept dancing right into vaudeville. And I started doing Charlie Chaplin imitations and some of the contests around there and won a couple. And later on, I played with, 28 years later, I played with Paulette Goddard, who did her first picture away from Chaplin with me at the Paramount Studios, and then met Chaplin. And Charlie Chaplin looked at me and said, "You know, I want to congratulate you on your comedy timing." And I've never told this anywhere else, and I get a great, great thrill out of it. It's one of the great thrills I get out of this business, because here I used to do impersonations of them. And in those days, there were many, many tab shows. And a tab show was a miniature musical comedy. It was a 16-people show, a tabloid, and I did everything. I did straight, I did comedy, I did character parts, I sang, I played saxophone. It's sort of in the, you know, in the form of a confession, this show, because very few people know that I was a saxophone player. And I could have put all saxophone out of business the way I played. Just miserable. Miserable saxophone player.
Well, Bob Hope's miserable saxophone playing was one of the most fortunate events of the 20th century, because it kept him headed towards the career which has brought so much joy to the world, the career of comedian. From impersonations of Chaplin through tab shows to vaudeville, as one half of different comedy teams, he moved on to a single at the famed Palace Theater in New York, and finally to Broadway musical comedy, where he starred with Jimmy Durante. Besides great talent, Bob and Jimmy had something else in common, uncommon noses.
I became very conscious of the nose bit with Jimmy Durante when we played together in Red Hot and Blue here in New York at the Alvin Theater, and I had much trouble seeing the audience and trying to get out from behind his nose. It was pretty tough. I was in that show, I think, for about 18 weeks before the audience ever saw me.
Bob gained stardom in Red Hot and Blue, but even after he emerged from the shadow of Jimmy Durante's nose, the subject of noses kept cropping up between them, and one result was this performance.
Folks, this life is tough. We both suffer such abuses. Girls phoning day and night, I've run out of excuses. We're not bragging, we're complaining. And don't think this is treason. We know we're not good looking. Our proboscises are the reason. Who's got all the charm?
Durante and Hope.
Who's got all the personality?
Hope and Durante.
Who's got all the savoir faire?
Durante and Hope.
Who's got all the money?
Crosby.
Honest, this is not just a lot of noise. We wish there was something we could do for other boys. No wonder fellas in this town walk around with a great big frown.
They're jealous of the boys with the proboscis. They beg for dates with all the chicks, but we have to beat them off with six.
No one likes the boys with the proboscis. Our secret is variety. That's what we found.
My nose turns up.
And my nose turns down.
We got an awful problem. Every time we get too close, we lock bumpers.
You'd think this life would make us smile, but it gets boring after a while.
Don't blame us if we sit around and mope.
Now analyze our aspects from our profile to our chassis.
I've got so much more than Gregory.
I've got so much more than Lassie.
So if you've got a sweetie and you plan to elope,
beware of the boys of the proboscis.
Jim, my nose has never been any handicap when it comes to girls. Why, in one night I once went out with five girls.
So what? In one night I once went out with 10 girls.
Mm. Well, on my dresser, I've got pictures of 20 beautiful girls.
On my dresser, I got pictures of 40 beautiful girls.
Uh-huh. Well, I've been proposed to by 50 girls.
But I've been proposed to by 100 girls. Well?
Oh, no, you don't. This time you go first.
So, if you've got a sweetie and you plan to elope, beware of the boys with the proboscis. Yes, sir. Beware of the boys with the proboscis.
On this occasion, Bob Hope's birthday, Jimmy Durante insists on having the last word.
Hello, Skeenos. Why don't you get your nose bobbed? You know, you take a lot of play away from me. Happy birthday, Bob.
There are so many more of Bob's friends waiting to be heard that we'd better bring some of them on right away. Here's Frank Sinatra first.
What you say, Hips? This is Bones. I was going to send you a telegram today, but nobody knew your exact location, so I'll just sing these greetings to you. Happy birthday, big star. Happy birthday, big star. Happy birthday, dear Robin, wherever you are.
This is Rosemary Clooney. Happy birthday, dear Bob. Listen, do you really think that Bing is just 59 years old this month? Gee.
And here's Tony Bennett, followed by others.
Bob, to you, I just want to wish you what you have done so well for so many other people in the world. I want to wish you the very, very best at all times.
This is Milton Berle, and I'd like to wish you, Bob, health and happiness on your 60th. I just want to tell you that I hope you live to be as old as my material. Yeah, I've used a lot of your jokes, but your contribution to Uncle Milty has never been as important as your contribution to Uncle Sam. So happy birthday, Bob, and God bless you.
Hi, Rapid Robert. This is Lucy. It gives me a special kind of pleasure to wish you a happy birthday because, actually, you and I have kind of grown up together in show business. You know, it's hard to believe we're celebrating your 60th birthday, especially since in August, I'm celebrating my 23rd. Congratulations, Robert. May you have many, many more.
And yet another of our great entertainers, George Burns, who's never at a loss for words.
Well, this is the 60th birthday. It's going to be 60 years old. I won't tell you how old I am, but if he was here, I'd have him get me a glass of water. The only time I ever worked with Hope was we did one of those college humor pictures. I think Crosby was in it, and Hope, and Jack Benny, and Martha Ray, and Everett Horton, and everybody was in it. And I think at the finish of the picture, Bob Hope married Martha Ray, and they left for Pittsburgh, and then the rest of the cast was supposed to walk into the camera and sing, you know, those hackneyed finishes they had musicals then. And as we walked into the camera, I looked alongside of me, and there was Hope and Martha Ray. And they were supposed to be on the train going to Pittsburgh. So I said to the producer, I said, look, you can't have Martha Ray and Bob Hope in the finish of the picture because they just left for Pittsburgh. And he said, look, he said, George, you just stick to acting, and I'll stick to producing. So that's the way he shot it. I don't have to tell you what happened. Hope and Martha Ray left for Pittsburgh, and the producer left for New York. Bob, I want to wish you a happy birthday, and if I had my my arranger here, I'd sing it for you. Maybe I'll sing it without my arranger. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bob. Happy birthday to you. Nothing fazes me.
George Burns appeared in only one movie with Bob Hope. Bob has made, to date, almost 50, and among those most vividly remembered and most popular were the road pictures, which brought him together with Bing Crosby and started a lasting friendship. We'll hear about that in a moment, but remember the year Bob and Bing made their first road picture, The Road to Singapore, back in 1939? Well, listen to this.
Back in 1939, the kind of carefree driving you can enjoy on the road today was only a dream when Chesty and Wynn hand-mixed the first formulation for what is universally known today as Wynn's Friction Proofing. Since that time, Wynn's Friction Proofing has become America's number one automotive product that treats the metal in your car's engine, not the oil. You see, Wynn's Friction Proofing is an exclusive combination of special metal conditioners that effectively smooths and seals vital metal parts to keep wear to an absolute minimum. And of course, wear caused by friction shortens the life of your car. So no matter what year car you're driving, protect the engine with Wynn's Friction Proofing. Chances are you're already using a top-quality motor oil, so don't waste your money trying to improve it. Add Wynn's Friction Proofing to your crankcase to treat the metal, not the oil, to restore horsepower, to improve performance, to work in partnership with the motor oil. Remember, even the finest motor oils do not contain friction proofing. So look for the familiar red, white, and black Wynn sign wherever you drive in for service. Get the best out of your car by putting the best in.
Carefree driving begins with a can of wind and a can of wind today.
If someone were to make a movie of Bob Hope's life, it would be called The Road to Laughter. And there would have to be a large role in it for the old groaner, a willing target of so many of Bob's quips, Bing Crosby. In the more than 20 years that they've been hitting the road together, from the road to Singapore to Zanzibar to Morocco to Utopia, and most recently the road to Hong Kong, they've littered the landscape with laughs, both on and off screen, and developed a lasting friendship. Bob tells how it all began.
I met Bing back here about 1932, and we appeared at the Capitol Theater with Abe Lyman's orchestra and that called Cass McEnone. We played 2 weeks and did a lot of bits together. I was the master of ceremonies of the show, and Bing was doing his act, his singing act. I think that's what he called it in those days, too. And we did a lot of bits together and had a lot of fun. So when I moved into the Paramount Studios, that's how we happened to start the road series. You know, we started working together in radio, and we've done countless shows together. And we used to frame writers to find out what he was going to ad-lib or what I was going to ad-lib, and then they'd give somebody else the answer, and we'd throw in the ad-lib just ahead of the time he was going to do it, or I was going to do it, whatever the case may be. And these things used to break, we used to break each other up this way, both in pictures and on radio. Now, one time in South Bend, Indiana, I think it was 1944 or 5, it was a Navy, South Bend had that naval program there at that time. And I was appearing there, and Bing and I had played in Indianapolis the day before. And I thought Bing had gone back to Hollywood, but he didn't. And he walked in just before the end of my show with a birthday cake, big birthday cake. And I had Herbert Marshall as my guest star. And we were on live in those days. And he said, "Happy birthday, Flab. Happy birthday." And gave me the cake, and I tried to hit him with the cake. And then we threw it in the audience, and the audience threw it back. But all you could hear were these screams, and this cake was being tossed from one end of the auditorium to the other, you know. And we wound up with sort of a meringue audience, meringue actors. It was a beautiful thing.
Bing has something for Bob on this birthday, too. Not a cake, but his version of their first meeting, and a few other thoughts in addition.
I first met old Robert in New York City. We were both playing on the bill at the Capitol Theater. I was doing a single, singing single, and Bob was working with Barclay's Bears. I think he held a flaming hoop while the Bears jumped through or something like that. No, seriously, he was doing a single, too. He was doing a monologue with some very dated gags, but he went over pretty good just on his brash delivery and on sheer bravery, I think. But anyhow, Bob, it's a great charge for me to be on this little tribute to you on your 79th birthday. It's really remarkable the things you do at such an advanced age and do them so willingly without anybody having to beat you or cudgel or drive you to them. I admire you. You are really a great, great workman. And seriously, I do want to commend you for the great things that you've done in your life, the great image that you've given our industry all over the world. I think that our industry is lucky to have such a fellow as you connected with it, and I'm sure everybody is grateful to you for all the things that you've done. Happy birthday, Robert.
In addition to a sincere admiration for each other, Bob Hope and Bing Crosby share a deep devotion to the game of golf. Bob has played almost every great course in the world and has a room full of books on the subject. Bing sponsors a tournament annually. It's a small surprise, therefore, to discover that the subject of one of their appearances together was golf.
Boy, how you carry a grudge. You really heat up and smolder when you drop a few Morgenthau mash notes at golf, don't you, huh?
Any other day?
Yeah.
You just had beginner's luck.
Beginner's luck?
Yes.
You just began once too often, brother. You simply tried to trap a superior apple tapper. That's what I'm playing with today, too.
You had the wind at your back.
We were both playing in the same direction. The wind was at your back, too.
Oh, yeah, but look at the sail you've got.
Do you want to compare physiques, flesh and fantasy?
Oh, hearken to old Flab and Drab here.
Next to you, I shape up like John Hall, or shall we say one of those South Sea Islanders.
Yeah, and you could cook a missionary in that pot you carry.
Bob's passion for golf once involved him in a true life sequence of events that might have been lifted bodily from one of his comedies. It happened in England a couple of years ago when he was filming a road picture with Bing Crosby. And the two of them would rush to a nearby course after the day's shooting.
Well, we did a harem scene in the Road to Hong Kong, and we thought it was funny if we were... if one of the girls was doing my fingernails and I had another girl giving me a pedicure and she was putting red polish on my toenails while I was eating grapes and they were feeding me wine. So I didn't get this polish off because you have to have some kind of acetone to get this polish off your nails. So I just pulled out my sock and I ran over to Wentworth Golf Course and played 9 fast holes, came in real fast, trying to change real fast, talked to a couple fellas sitting right across the way, took off my golf socks, and they looked down and saw my red toenails. And they looked at each other and said, "Do you think?" And I noticed they were looking at me. And I didn't say anything. I just, I didn't have time to explain this thing. I just dashed off. Went home about 2 weeks later. We did a big scene where we're coming back from this space visit. And we were heroes and they're throwing confetti all over us. And I got most of the confetti on me because I usually overact in those pictures. And, I went over the golf course and I rushed into the shower this day, took off my underwear, and all this confetti fell on the ground out of my shorts. And there were two Scotchmen that I was talking to at that time, and they looked at this confetti, and I looked back at them like I hadn't had a bath since New Year's Eve and rushed into the shower. I said, I never explained it, but I got some strange looks around that golf course for the next couple of weeks. So now I'm known as the fellow with the red toenails and confetti in his underwear at that golf course.
There and everywhere else, Bob is known as one of the world's most versatile entertainers. His early training in vaudeville gave him an assurance that enhanced his natural talents for dancing, singing, and comedy. And he's used them to great advantage in movies like The Road to Morocco.
We're off on the road to Morocco. Well, look out.
We're cleared away.
Cause here we come. For a concussion.
The many spires sleep on nails and saw their wives in half.
It seems to me there should be easier ways to get a laugh.
Well, I slipped my big shoes out.
Off on the road to Morocco.
Hooray!
Well, blow a horn.
Everybody duck at the green light. Come on, boys.
We may run into villains, but we're not afraid to roam,
because we read the story and we end up safe at home.
Yeah, certainly do get around.
Like Webster's Dictionary, we're Morocco bound.
Like a complete set of Shakespeare that you get in the corner drugstore for $1.98.
We're Morocco bound.
Or like a volume of Omar Khayyam that you buy at a department store at Christmas time for your cousin Julia.
We're Morocco bound.
We're saluting Bob Hope on his 60th birthday and also honoring his 25 years with the National Broadcasting Company.
Don't go away. The recorded Happy Birthday Bob Hope Show and Wins Friction Proofing will return after a 10-second pause for station identification. Wins Friction Proofing returns with the Happy Birthday Bob Hope Show.
This is Hugh Downs again, welcoming you to part two of our birthday salute to the man who has taken Shakespeare's words literally. All the world's a stage to Bob Hope, and he has played to more people in more different media, in more different countries than anyone else, but always with the same result, laughter. We'll examine his radio years in a few moments. In addition to his movies, his radio and TV shows, Bob has made innumerable visits to U.S. service installations, setting a record back in 1957. In that year, another record was made, too.
Right, Hugh. Back in 1957, the famous Bonneville Salt Flats in Utah was the scene of an American automotive speed record that still has the experts gasping. With Roy Leslie, a Winds distributor, at the wheel, the sleek Winds friction-proofing streamliner broke all American speed records when it traveled more than 270 miles an hour to set a new record for the flying mile. And, of course, the car was completely treated with Winds friction-proofing, America's number one automotive product that treats the metal, not the oil, to hold wear to an absolute minimum. Actually, Winns offers a full line of products to prevent and correct car troubles. For instance, there's Winns' famous Automedic that reduces oil burning. Added to your crankcase, it cuts down heavy exhaust smoking, boosts compression, helps restore power. And Winns' Automedic has a money-back guarantee. So look for the familiar red, white, and black Winns sign wherever you drive in for service. Let it remind you to get the best out of your car. Put the best in.
Carefree driving begins with a can of Winns and a can of Winns today.
Back in 1938, Bob Hope began an association with NBC, which is still flourishing today. In those days, Tuesdays had a special meaning for radio audiences from coast to coast. They meant the rapid-fire quips and topical comedy that were and still are the trademark of a Bob Hope show. Radio provided many other great comedians, too. And some of them have special greetings they've asked us to pass along to Bob tonight. From Edgar Bergen, first.
Well, back in radio days, Bob Hope used to borrow my audience. He had the studio right next to me and followed me on the air. And sometimes he would blame me if his show didn't go because I ruined the audience. And there were a few shows where I think I did it, too. And, Charlie?
Huh?
Aren't you going to say something?
Oh, yeah. What's the occasion?
Well, we're sort of celebrating Bob Hope's 60th birthday.
Well, now, you know, that's pretty nice. I must say one thing. Bob is a pretty funny man for an old man.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a younger ventriloquist myself to work with.
Mortimer?
Oh, yo.
Say something.
Oh, yo. Who are you? Oh, I'm Mortimer. Mortimer Snurd. And I want to say... Yeah, I want to say happy Father's Day. No. Happy birthday. Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Mr. Happy birthday, Mr. Hope. Oh, Mr. Hope, yes. I get so mixed up.
Hi, Bob. This is Jack Benny, and I want to wish you a happy birthday, a very happy birthday. Now, I haven't had a birthday in 30 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Fibber McGee, and I want to congratulate Bob Hope on his 60th birthday, and I do hope I can get there myself someday. When I often recall a story that we used to like to tell about him, one time he came to New York with his group, his entourage, and they were in the hotel room, and he had all his writers there and everyone, and the phone rang, and one of the writers answered the phone and said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Hope is not here," and hung up. And Bob said, "What'd you do that for? That might have been a benefit." And that's the way Bob has been all his life. And, Robert, I do want to congratulate you and hope you have many more happy birthdays. God love you.
Fibber McGee wasn't exaggerating when he told a story about Bob. Among his many nicknames is the revealing one, Free Talent Hope. He has helped raise vast amounts of money for charities of every description, for the needy of all ages, faiths, creeds, and countries. Another all-time great entertainer and humanitarian, Eddie Cantor, pays his tribute to Bob.
No one has more smilers behind him than Bob Hope. He's traveled to every part of the globe, bringing home to our servicemen. When Bob started off on one of his jaunts, someone said, "He's only taking three riders. For Hope, that's practically ad-libbing." Well, I challenge anyone to think as fast as Bob. Talking about golf, he said, "I'm not playing with Crosby anymore. Would you play with a guy who cheats, who picks up the ball and throws it toward the hole? Of course you wouldn't. And neither will Crosby. I am proud to be a member of the same profession where the top man is a guy like Bob. As long as he's around, there's hope for America."
And there's hope for the rest of the world, too.
He'll keep traveling to wherever laughter is needed. Getting back to his radio shows, here's how he sounded the night he welcomed a noted violinist as his guest.
Now, as I was saying... Please. Hey, Evelyn, stop with that magic violin. I resent that. Well, Jack Benny, ladies and gentlemen. Jack, what are you doing here?
Some surprise. We rehearsed 9 weeks already.
Bob, look, I heard about your leg, and I thought I'd pay you a visit.
Well, that's swell of you, Jack, but how come you're sitting in with Les Brown's orchestra?
Well, just once I wanted to play in a band and not worry about the leader's breath taking the varnish off my violin.
Then, as now, the star of one show would trade guest appearances with the star of another show. Here's Bob Hope on The Eddie Cantor Show.
I was on your program Tuesday night, and now you're on my show. You know, we make a great team, Bob and Eddie.
Yeah, Hope and Hopeless.
Already with the fast jokes, aren't you, Bob?
Yeah, and I got a crusher tonight. Just made it up. Get this, folks. Bing Crosby has so much money that it bears in his backyard. The other day, he dug halfway down and met Cantor coming up.
Hey, but wait a minute, Bob. Bob, you know, you're an amazing guy. Honestly. You're in radio, pictures, you write books, and I understand you only get 2 hours sleep a night. Now, on the level, Bob, for a man to write two wonderful books without a formal education is a great accomplishment.
Now, just a minute, Eddie. Don't go too far. There's only one thing that kept me from going to college.
What was that?
High school.
Well, there was only one thing that kept me from going to high school.
What was that?
Kindergarten.
Well... We can keep going. There was only one thing that kept me from going to kindergarten.
What was that?
My wife wanted me to go out and get a job.
And then there was that special moment on the Bob Hope Show when the phone would ring.
Hello? Well, the stash himself, Professor Colonna. How are you? Hey, Colonna.
Hello, Hope. I'm calling you from Canada.
From Canada? Why are you talking so loud?
No telephone.
You know, Colonna, you shake my sanity.
No, you shake my sanity. It's looser.
Professor, tell me, why are you this way?
Well, Hope, I've had a hard time. For 2 years after I was born, I led a dog's life.
For 2 years after you were born, you led a dog's life? Why was that?
Old man thought I was a Cocker Spaniel.
Well, how did he find out you weren't a Cocker Spaniel?
Other Cocker Spaniel snitched.
Professor, stop clowning and get over here right away.
Okay.
What bridge are you going to take?
Oh, I don't need a bridge. I'll drive across the bay.
But, Colonna, the bay is 100 feet deep.
I know, but I've got it figured out. I've sealed up my car to keep out the water. I sealed up the floorboards. I locked the windows and puttied up the windshield. Now, here I go.
Professor, what happened?
Silly me, forgot to put the top up.
Yes, those were wonderful times. And the pop-eyed, mustachioed Jerry Colonna occasionally raised his voice in piercing, siren-like song. Remember his rendition of The Road to Mandalay? We don't have time for that particular tune tonight, but Jerry does have a song to deliver, and there are other members of Bob Hope's radio and TV families who want to be heard, as well as some of those who have traveled with him on his GI jaunts, and some who are just friends. Colonna first.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Robert Hope. Happy birthday to...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You know, it's funny, I can't count up to 60. Robert, happy birthday from me to you.
This is Marilyn Maxwell. I've worked with a lot of comedians, but I find that Bob is the easiest to work with because if you think of a joke, for example, and you say something off the top of your head, he loves it. We used to do a routine where he'd wear a very tall Texan hat, and he'd say to me, I'm from Texas, where men are men and women are women. And I would say, what about it? And he'd say, well, I'm in there someplace. And then at this point, you see, he used to kind of drop his trousers just a bit, and then a little pot would stick out, and he'd stroll across the stage on that laugh, you see. This one time, I looked at him, and I just said, Bob, is that where you keep your bowling ball? And it just came out, and it was a big laugh, and he came over, and he took it big. But in my ear, he said, that's good, Max. Keep that in. That's what I mean. Happy birthday, darling, Bob.
Hi, Bob. This is Frances Langford. Happy birthday, and I hope I'll be here next year saying the same thing to you.
And the young man who leads the band of renown, Les Brown.
Oh, Robert, you finally made it. 60 years, huh? Happy birthday, boy. And I don't think you'd look a day over 59. Especially when I see that golf swing.
Hello, Bob. This is Jane Mansfield, and I'm going to wish you with all my heart the happiest birthday you've ever had. I hope that we'll be traipsing off to Timbuktu together every Christmas from now on. God bless you.
Well, hello, this is Skinny Innes, and once again, I'm very happy and proud to be able to participate in this little program and say happy birthday to my old friend Bob Hope.
Hi, Bob. This is Doris Day, or J.B., as you used to call me. And I just want to send you love and wish you a very happy birthday and many, many more to come.
Here's the man who introduced Bob to his wife-to-be, Dolores, back in the days when Bob was appearing in the Broadway musical Roberta, actor George Murphy.
Bob, I'm tickled to death to have this opportunity to join with all the others of your millions and millions of friends and admirers throughout the world to wish you a very, very happy birthday and as many more healthy, happy, and prosperous birthdays as you care to enjoy yourself. God bless you.
And Bob's agent, Jim Saphir, not just a business associate, but a close friend.
Bob, this has been your award year, and special congratulations are in order for the top accolades which have been accorded you in 1963. 60 is a big number, and it's fitting that it be celebrated with all these big awards. We've been together for 26 of those 60 years, and I treasure every one of them. Happy birthday, Bob.
Bob, this is your old pal, Hedda Hopper, congratulating you on your 60th birthday. And don't worry about being 60. I'm still wearing hats that are that old. You're getting to the stage now where your birthday candles cost more than the cake does. But 60 is a ripe old age. Let's be honest. At 60, you're not only ripe, you're squashy. I hope it's not true, but Bing told me you can't even handle a four-way cold tablet anymore. You're only good for two ways. And just 2 weeks ago today, when astronaut Cooper was flying over Africa, he said, "Where's Bob Hope? He was supposed to fly up here and do a show for me." Love you, Bob. Every day of your 60 years, you've spent doing something for someone else. Right now, this world could use a lot more just like you.
Well, if it were possible, Bob Hope would make a trip into orbit to entertain a single astronaut. On one occasion, during a stopover at a remote American airbase, while his plane was being refueled, he found a group of 20 GIs in a Quonset hut and staged an impromptu show for the 40 minutes it took to fuel up the plane. When it comes to servicemen and women, Bob never measures the size of an audience, just the size of the need for laughter. If it's needed at all, he goes and delivers. More about that in a moment. It was back in 1950 when Bob Hope entertained U.S. troops under fire at the 38th parallel in Korea. And here is something else that happened that year.
That's right, Hugh. Back in 1950, Wynn's friction-proofing special, driven by Johnny Parsons, flashed across the finish line to win the famous Indianapolis Memorial Day race. And tomorrow, still another Wynn's friction-proofing racer, number 65, the Wynn's friction-proofing Travelon Trailer Special, will be all set to go in this famous 500-mile classic at Indianapolis. Driven by Bob Christie and sponsored by Wynn's friction-proofing and its U.S. distributors, the car has been treated with Wynn's friction-proofing, America's number one automotive product that treats the metal, not the oil. So do as leading race drivers do. Depend on Wynn's friction-proofing to hold wear to an absolute minimum. And depend on the full line of Wynn's products to prevent and correct troubles from radiator to gas tank. Don't put up with a car that burns oil, that has a leaky transmission or a leaky radiator. Don't put up with noisy sticking hydraulic valve lifters, power steering squeal, or a dirty clogged up carburetor. To solve these and other problems, add a can of Wynn's. Look for the familiar red, white, and black Wynn sign wherever you drive in for service. To get the best out of your car, put the best in.
Carefree driving begins with a can of Wynn's and a can of Wynn's today.
In our birthday tribute to Bob Hope tonight, we have just barely skimmed the surface of his many achievements in the movies, radio, TV, and the theater. We've had time for only the most minute fraction of his vast number of admirers and friends to personally wish him well. We haven't even had time to mention the many amusing books he has written, beginning with Have Tux, Will Travel, down to the most recent, I Owe Russia $1,200, which recounts the trip during which he brought his hard-hitting humor into the very shadow of the Kremlin. As important as all these activities have been, they seem to take second place to the one aspect of his career which has become as much a part of his life as breathing, his trips to our military installations in all parts of the world. There are hundreds of thousands of GIs who remember with gratitude the few moments of laughter with which Bob Hope relieved for them the terrible tension of combat or the aching monotony of an outpost at the far end of nowhere. It began over a score of years ago, this tour of duty for Bob Hope, and it continues every Christmas. Bob tells how it started.
Actually, we started working for the military in 41, and we did our radio show for five solid years in military bases. Then the war was over, and we kind of quit. We went back to NBC, and in 1948, Senator Symington asked us to go on the airlift. He was then Secretary of Air Force, and asked us if we'd go on to the and do a show in Berlin, or in Wiesbaden, Berlin, yeah, for the airlift, and which we did with Irving Berlin and Tex and Jenks and General Doolittle and Vice President Barclay at that time. And we flew over there and we did that show. And the next year, he called me. He was a Secretary of the Air Force. He said, I'm going to Alaska for Christmas. Would you go up there? And I said, I don't know. I should stay home. I got the kids. The kids were very young at that time. And he said, well, I'll call you and in a couple of days and we'll find out. He was on his way. Now, this was, I guess, a couple of days before Christmas. And he said, I'm in Omaha and I'm on my way to Seattle. He said, why don't you join me in Seattle? We'll go up to Alaska. And I said, but what about the kids? I said, I hate to leave them. He said, bring them along. And they were on the extension. I heard this scream. And so we went up to Alaska. We took the family up there with us. And they arrived there about, I guess, 5 o'clock at night. It was dark. And they were throwing snowballs till 7, you know, which was so different from Hollywood, North Hollywood, because it was so hot down there at that time. And the next year, then the Defense Department picked it up. And they said, how about going to Korea and Japan in 50? And we went out there. Then the next year, we went somewhere else, Alaska again, or Greenland or somewhere. And we've been going ever since. And it was really Stu Symington started us on this Christmas kick. And there's never been bigger thrills for anybody than we've had on these shows and everybody that's gone along on these Christmas tours, you know. And it's a great privilege to do it. And more people that have made this trip keep coming back and saying, how about it? And let's go, you know.
Bob Hope logged over 1,000,000 miles in the first 10 years after 1941 and has lost count since. Here are just a few of the steps on his long journey. Somewhere in England, July 1943.
Well, it's certainly great being here in good old jolly England. Yes, sir, here we are. You know, England, that's the place that Churchill visits when he leaves America. He's got to come back here once in a while so he won't lose his accent.
August, that same year, under the searing sun of North Africa.
Yeah, but it's wonderful being back in Africa. Good old Africa, yes. Yes, sir, Texas with Arabs. Oh. Of course, you can get out of Texas, but the heat here, boy, what heat. It's the first time I ever laid a fried egg. I'm really no stranger here. I was on the road to Morocco once.
Now I'm doing it the hard way.
In August of 1944, the South Pacific, New Caledonia.
Well, here we are in this beautiful, romantic South Pacific island. Boy, aren't these islands pretty? We've had a very fast flying trip up to now. Flew all the way down here from San Francisco. Didn't scare me a bit. I read a novel coming down. Going back, I'm going to read the second page. When we got about halfway down, the pilot turned around to me and said, "Are you a little nervous?" I said, "Yeah, this is only my third time up." He said, "You beat me, this is my first." I said, "It's a little rough out there. Don't you think we ought to have parachutes?" He said, "Don't be silly. The ones with parachutes jumped an hour ago." And talk about weather over that Pacific. It was so rough, the automatic pilot bailed out. I've never seen anything.
And during the Berlin airlift.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you very much, fellas. How do you do? Now, I want to tell you, I had a nice trip in from America. You know America, that's where if you got a couple of cigarettes, you smoke them. I snapped the cigarette butt away today, and it was traded twice before it hit the ground. And once after. General Clay was at the airport when I arrived. I ran out and said, "Here I am, General, all ready to go." He said, "Fine, get back on and we'll turn the plane around." As we arrived over Berlin, several Soviet planes started to buzz us, but the first Russian pilot took one look at me and said, "They're okay, look at the hammerhead and sickle." And the people over here really know me. Whenever I walk down the streets of Berlin, everybody follows me yelling and cheering. Any of you fellas know what Schweinhund means?
That was Christmastime 1948, and ever since, Bob Hope has spent Christmas away from home, away from his children and his wife, Dolores. It's not an easy sacrifice to make, but Bob never questions it. Somebody needs a bit of laughter at a base somewhere far from home, and Bob Hope delivers it as a Christmas present. It's probably no coincidence at all that the only recording of Bob and Dolores Hope singing together that we know of is a Christmas song. Perhaps the thought of it links them when they are separated from each other by Bob's Christmas tours.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And on every street corner you hear silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them.
Well, we've listened during the last hour to some of Bob Hope's friends congratulating him on his birthday and wishing him well, telling us what they think of him and his magnificent career. How does Bob himself feel?
Well, I feel pretty good about this birthday. I've been very, very lucky. I made a lot of wonderful friends, and I've met a lot of wonderful people all over the world. And I've had a full life. I guarantee you. I've been very, very lucky.
Actually, the world has been very, very lucky to have a Bob Hope. And we're looking forward to many more years in which he will create memories for which we can thank him, as we thank him for the happiness he's brought us already. Happy 60th birthday, Bob Hope. And many, many happy returns of the day. This is Hugh Downs. Good evening.
Happy Birthday, Bob Hope Show was presented by Winn's Friction Proofing, makers of products to prevent and correct car troubles from radiator to gas tank. Net proceeds for the sponsorship of this program have been donated to charity. This has been an NBC Radio Network presentation directed by Bill Malcolm and written by Charles Garman. The program was pre-recorded.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.